Carl Azus for CNN10. Thank you for watching. This is our penultimate program of the 2022 spring season, and we begin in the city of Uvalde, Texas, in the southern part of the state, where many people are in mourning. New details have come out about a shooting that took place there on Tuesday. An 18-year-old resident of Uvalde first shot a family member and then drove to an elementary school where he attacked students and teachers. 21 people were killed, 17 others were injured, including 3 law enforcement officers. A Border Patrol officer was able to kill the shooter. Texas Governor Greg Abbott said people are rightfully angry about what happened.
Evil swept across Uvalde yesterday. To say the least, Uvalde has been shaken to its core. Families are broken apart. Hearts are forever shattered. All Texans are grieving with the people of Uvalde.
When U.S. President Joe Biden addressed the nation Tuesday night, he quoted the biblical book of Psalms, saying the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. And then the president called for stricter gun laws in America.
I ask the nation to pray for them. Give the parents and siblings the strength in the darkness they feel right now. As a nation, we have to ask, when in God's name are we going to stand up to the gun lobby? We have to have the courage to stand up to the industry. Here's what else I know. Most Americans support common sense laws, common sense gun laws.
But Americans are divided in Congress and communities over what those laws should be and whether they'd prevent this kind of violence. Other suggestions have been to arm more people, including teachers, to defend against attacks. There have been calls for more security in the nation's schools, and observers say more needs to be done to monitor warning signs like violent social media posts to try to prevent attacks. So while the problem of shootings persists, there's disagreement over potential solutions. While the nations of India and Bangladesh are enduring severe floods, the opposite is true on the opposite side of the northern hemisphere. Lake Powell and Lake Mead, which are both found partly in Arizona, are at such low levels that the millions who depend on these lakes could see significant water restrictions in the days ahead. Reductions have already affected farmers.
The Southwest mega drought is intensifying, and it's not even summer yet. Lake Mead, the nation's largest reservoir, keeps dropping to unprecedented lows, from human bones to old boats.
See if it'll start.
The precipitous fall is revealing secrets long hidden underwater.
There's probably 2 V8 engines under the mud.
But the seeping water line is cause for another grim reality. For the first time, Lake Mead, which supplies water to 40 million people in 7 states and Mexico, has fallen to an elevation of just 1,050 feet. That could force the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation to institute a second tier of unprecedented water restrictions following the first round of cuts triggered in January.
We're falling about a foot a week right now because of the agricultural demands downstream.
California is one of those states that relies on water from Lake Mead. For months, Governor Gavin Newsom has called on residents and businesses to voluntarily cut their water usage by 15% as the state's reservoirs continue to shrink.
I'm standing currently 40 feet underwater, or should be standing 40 feet underwater.
He eventually expanded the drought emergency.
We are doing what we had signaled was likely to happen.
But despite Newsom's pleas, Californians haven't cut back. In fact, in March, not only was the target not met, but urban water usage rose by 19% from March 2020, the highest March usage since 2015, the state says. California is entering the third year of drought, punctuated by the driest first 3 months of a year on record, and its 2 largest reservoirs, Shasta Lake and Lake Oroville, are at critically low levels, standing at just half of their historical averages. The data spurring Newsom to call a meeting with the state's largest urban water suppliers, pressuring them to beef up their water conservation efforts amid the urgent water crisis, or potentially face a significant reduction in water use statewide this summer.
10-second trivia. Yellow-eyed, fjordland-crested, and macaroni are all types of what? Lark, gecko, penguin, or moose? These are all types of penguins, and 2 of them are found in New Zealand. According to the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, the yellow-eyed penguin has been an endangered species for decades. The threats it faces include disease, predators, and being accidentally caught in fishing gear. Fjordland penguins are doing better in the wild. They're classified as near threatened. That's also from fishing, predators, and disease, plus habitat changes. You can find both species at a conservation center in New Zealand.
On New Zealand's South Island coast, on 150 acres of private land, Penguin Place is a rescue and rehabilitation center for sick, starving, and injured penguins. It's also a haven for this native endangered species.
Hoihoa is the Māori word for yellow-eyed penguin, and it means noisy shouter. So chance are, if you are going to see one, you'll hear them screaming at each other. They are the world's only solitary species of penguin, so they don't like each other.
They don't seem to like human contact either, says Penguin Place conservation manager Jason Van Zanten.
Believe it or not, the yellow-eyed penguins aren't cute and cuddly like they look. They have a really vicious bite, and that can do quite a bit of damage.
Many of these birds come to Penguin Place from the Dunedin Wildlife Hospital nearby, where they're under the care of founder and director, Dr. Lisa Argilla.
I love penguins. They're quite sassy little individuals. They all have their own individual personalities as well. Possibly.
This is a Fjordland crested penguin, or tawaki. It's one of New Zealand's rarest mainland penguin species.
A lot of our New Zealand penguins are in such strife, reaching sort of levels of being endangered. Just trying to save these guys as best we can, stop them becoming extinct. Yeah, you feel better?
Dr. Argilla and her team treat up to 50 penguins here per season.
Most of the injuries we see are actually predator-related. So this guy has got what we would be consistent with the nasty gash wounds all over the feet from a barracuda.
At Penguin Place, these young birds are feeling the effects of climate change, unable to find enough food in the ocean due to rising sea temperatures, as well as fishing practices, Van Zanten says. Around 80% come in underweight and need fattening up.
These birds have been declining a lot recently. In the last 10 or so years, we've lost about 3/4 or 75% of the population. So that's a lot really, really quickly. Humans also have a big part to play. A lot of our public beaches, unfortunately, do have a lot of foot traffic on it, and we cause a lot of disturbance for these birds. Private reserves like this are really important for the species ongoing. The work we're doing is absolutely critical for these guys and their survival here on the mainland.
For Van Zanten's birds, things are looking up. But for the full recovery of these penguin species, it's baby steps.
About a month ago, we asked you to send in original artwork designed around the number. Well, here's why. We are shining up some slick new graphics for when our show relaunches in August. We're getting a whole new look. So even though our summer hiatus starts next week, here's a bit of a sneak preview for those who can't wait to see what's coming up on CNN 10. Digging in your pocket for a quarter to use a payphone is something many have never had to do. So this won't be nearly as nostalgic for them as it might be for their parents, teachers, coaches. This is one of the last public payphones in the New York City borough of Manhattan. Because cell phones have turned it into a relic of a bygone era, it's headed to a museum where people can imagine or hearken back to the days of finding a phone to call home. Like E.T. Now, people who thought that was a bad call might have said there's a disconnect and called the decision dial tone deaf. They might have told the city to hold the line while they petitioned their Rotary Club to take action. But it was not a move made out of switch boredom. There were Pennsylvania 6,000 reasons to do it, even if some folks got hung up on the decision. I'm Carl Azus, Lane Tech College Prep. Shout out to you watching from Chicago, Illinois. There is one more show to go before we do for the summer break.